ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 chapter entitled The Killing of the Demon Tṛṇāvṛta. Sri Śuka uvāca kadācit auttānika kautukka plāve janmākṣa yoge समवेता योषितां वादित्र गीता द्विज मंत्र वाचकैस चकार सुनोर अभिषेकणम् सती। श्री शुक उवाच। श्री शुकदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड टू स्पीक at the request of Maharaj Parikshit. Kadachit, at that time when Krishna was 3 months old, Authanika, Kautuka, Aplave, when Krishna was 3 or 4 months old and his body was developing, he attempted to turn around, and this pleasing occasion was observed with a festival and bathing ceremony. Janma Vruksha Yoge. At that time, there was also a conjunction of the moon with the auspicious nakshatra Rohini. Samaveta Yoshitam. The ceremony was observed amongst the assembled women, a ceremony of mothers. Vaditra Gita, different varieties of music and singing. Dvija Mantra Vachikai, with chanting of the Vedic hymns by qualified Brahmanas. Chakara, executed. Shuno, of her son. Abhishechanam by bathing ceremony. Sati, Mother Yashoda. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, when Mother Yashoda's baby was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around, this attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. In such a ceremony called Uttana, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, the child is properly bathed. Just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Yashoda celebrated this ceremony with other women of the neighborhood. On that day, there was conjunction of moon with the constellation Nakshatra Rohini. As the Brahmanas joined by chanting Vedic hymns and professional musicians also took part, this great ceremony was observed by Mother Yashoda. Purport. There is no question of overpopulation or of children's being a burden for their parents in a Vedic society. Such a society is so well organized and people are so advanced in spiritual consciousness that childbirth is never regarded as a burden or a botheration. The more the child grows, the more his parents become jubilant, and the child's attempts to turn over are also a source of jubilation. Even before the child is born, when the mother is pregnant, many recommended ritualistic ceremonies are performed. For example, when the child is been in the womb for 3 months and 7 months, there is a ceremony the mother observes by eating with neighboring children. This ceremony is called as Swada Bhakshana. Similarly, before the birth of a child, there is a Garbhadhana Samskar. In Vedic civilization, the childbirth is, or pregnancy is, in Vedic civilization, the childbirth or pregnancy is never regarded as a burden. Rather, it is cause of jubilation. In contrast, people in modern civilization do not like pregnancy or childbirth. When there is a child, they sometimes kill the child. We can just consider how human society has fallen since the inauguration of Kali Yuga. Although people still claim to be civilized, at the present moment there is actually no human civilization, but only an assembly of two-legged animals. Hare Krishna. Umagyana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha sri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupak kadamayam dadati svapadantikam sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhar srivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. My deep gratitude for letting me be with you to read Srimad Bhagavatam. If Srila Prabhupada's purport would not have been there, I don't know how Bhagavat will look actually. Srila Prabhupada gives so many beautiful angles of vision of the same verse. So yesterday when I was studying and reading, I was thinking that there is no spiritual topic that Srila Prabhupada has not covered in all his books. If someone does a scrutiny, there can be hundreds of books on each topic, just if we scrutinize, for example, samskaras, so many purports Prabhupada said, so many things, festivities, human life, so many things are there which are so useful to our practical human life. Long time ago, one of the one of the society persons told that Prabhupada could not give the highest rasa. You know, so I said, you have not read Prabhupada's books, how do you know what rasa Prabhupada has given? Only if we read Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is enough of highest of all rasas available in that. What to speak of Ishopanishad and other scriptures Prabhupada written. So it will take maybe time for even people to understand what was Prabhupada and what were his disciples. Like, it will take maybe hundreds of years to understand a devotee like Indra Prabhu. Very difficult to understand the way he was. So I was thinking that we are so blessed actually to be aware, to be informed, to be educated in this beautiful institute called International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Again and again, time and again, we have to thank Prabhupada for letting us in this great, wonderful spiritual mystery, a festivity of joy, festivity of bliss that we are always immersed in being in ISKCON actually. And especially in Vrindavan Dham, it is a dham of festivities only. For every single thing there is a festival. Prabhupada just touched few of them. But there are hundreds and hundreds of them. For each and everything connected with Krishna, there are festivities over here. And that's why there was no question of depressive illness or mental illnesses in the past. Because by the time one festival ends, you start preparing for the next festival. So there is no time in between to feel depressed or bad about anything. There's so much of joy is there. So much of happiness is there. That the mind doesn't have any scope to express. It is so-called sorrow. That's why, who are people who are not unhappy? Who are immersed in the process of Krishna consciousness given by Prabhupada. Immersed in the sense, not just doing mechanically. Those who are actually taking deep interest in the process of chanting, deep interest in the process of following the four regulations, deep interest in deity worship, deep interest in eating prasad with deep meditation. We all eat prasad, but if you really, Eshaka Krishna Aswadilo, like this mood, if we honor prasad and thank Krishna and so forth, read scriptures, eat purport of Prabhupada with meditative understanding, meditative contemplation, then it's only bliss. There is nothing. It is not just a statement given in Gita that is susukham kartum avyayam. It is not just by the way it is said. It is the fact that if you take interest in that manner, then our life itself will become a festival. Not just a festival which you organize. Our life itself is a festival. What it requires is heartfelt participation in the simple ABCD process of Krishna consciousness. Then everything becomes an ocean of bliss. When we read Chaitanya Charitamrita also, we understand that there was a every moment festival with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every single moment spent with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the devotees in Navadvip and other places was simply a festival. So we have been introduced to such a rich culture. And in today's day and time, when there is so much of mental illness, Western world, Indian world, whatever, this continent, that continent, everybody is so much plagued with mental disorders. And the only answer to that is festivities. Celebrate festival at household level or at temple level or the congregational level, society level. And India is filled with such festivals. But when Indians are giving up this culture of festivities, the mental disorders are peeping in. Wherever there is a disconnection, especially in the cities, you will find more mental depression. Especially in the villages, when there is still connectivity with natural bhakti of Indian continent, there is joy. And it could be people from all walks of life. They may not be Indians only, or they may not be foreigners only. Whoever takes to the simple village culture of festivities, they will become joyful. So many good subjects are touched upon by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. First of all, he talks about childbirth not being a burden. And so true, Prabhupada is writing this maybe in 1970s somewhere, right? And today we are almost 50 years beyond that. How true it is that he is saying that mothers are killing their children. Child is a burden. Child is a hindrance in the process of sense gratification. Child is a botheration in the process of enjoyment in material life, bodily enjoyment. But the real culture of human life is so much joy when the child is born. What to speak of born? When the child is in the womb, he comes in the womb, there is so much of joy, so much of happiness, so much of celebration. And as a child grows, so much of happiness is there. The child is growing. Even there are some videos I have seen of Prabhupada, you know, when the child is, I think it was Saraswati, who was trying to stand up, and Prabhupada is, you know, encouraging her to stand and clapping. She was also so joyful. So real joy is then when a devotee is born, when the devotee is conceived, when a devotee mother is pregnant. Because now one more soldier is going to come to join the movement of Krishna consciousness. One more soldier is going to come to deliver so many other conditioned souls. There is growth in the family of devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always would say, let there be growth in the family of devotees. Let the devotee family grow. Family of devotees grow. So we should not feel shy to give birth to children. Oh, who will maintain them? Oh, how do I manage? Or how do I chant my rounds? How do I go to temple services? My experience personally and my experience collectively is that when the child comes, all the needs of the child are coming with the child. We as fathers and mothers think falsely that I am supposed to maintain, I am supposed to work hard, I am supposed to raise money, I am supposed to provide. But in my house, we are 7 children. Now we are not children, we are getting old. I am the youngest. And my father told me in several discussions in my childhood that whenever second child came, my business increased. When in those days, 100 rupees and 50 rupees business would increase. I am talking about 1940s and 50s, when my father was just married. He said, every time another child came, my business increased by 200 rupees. When this child came, water came in the tap, in the house. When this child came, that happened. When this child came, that happened. And my father was a very poor man, very simple person, hardworking man. But he, all 7 of us were given good food, good clothing, good education. May not be mobile like affluent things, but all the basic things, good health with daily gymming at home, good physical training, and good tough body. And there was no dearth. Yeah, if I say we didn't have mobiles or radios or, I don't know, 2-in-1s in those days, not. In those days, different things were there for attractions. But my father had firm faith that whenever a child comes, he comes with his own karma. And we are just the instrument. So there was no, I don't know, and I am sure there was no contraceptives used in my family by my mother or father. There were free production of children. And because of the free production of children, there was no dearth also at the same time. Simplicity was there, but affluence was not there, but everything was provided. And there was such a big team in the house for emotional support. I am like in the second generation in the house, and there was a first generation of 3 children, and then there is 4 children in second generation. And the first generation was like parents only to us in second generation. In second generation also we had 2-3 contemporaries to play with and to have quarrel with. And in first generation we would learn from them mathematics and science. And all of them were, nobody had any vices or any bad habits or any, nobody got astray. Everybody is very well cultured. Why? Because there was a natural welcome of children. Today what is happening is, we just had a big important meeting about infertility in society, in the hospital. And we just came to know that a girl becomes mature today when she is 10-year-old. Think about it. And then she gets educated and highly educated, and the boy gets highly educated. So the marriage takes place something like in 28 years of age, 30 years of age. So it is explained by the infertility specialist that the natural fertile period of a woman's life, that is fertility period, 20 years are just lost. And after that, There is something like pushing the childbirth. Why? Because now we are married, we are educated, we need to have planning, we should enjoy, you know, travel abroad, go to hill stations, and so another 5 years are gone. And when they start thinking of having children that time, what is happening? There is no childbirth. Because when it was natural, as per the laws of nature, you pushed it away. And when you want it, nature is pushing you away. Very simple. Nature has its own way, you cannot play with the nature. And that's why this very relevant point Prabhupada is mentioning here. That's why today there is such a great difficulty to have children. There are so many methods have come up, artificial, unnatural methods, where people are simply struggling, spending lakhs of rupees, so much of mental energy, so much of agony and frustration, and you know, no result, and then every month there is, and you cannot chant Hare Krishna. Because you are bogged down now at 33 years of age, the lady and the man, I want to have a child, I want to become mother, I want to become father, and now this doctor, that doctor, then so much cheating is going on, so much of side effects and so much of unnatural happening. All this is because of what? Because of pushing the childbirth away, when it is so natural to happen. So in our talks to newly wedded couples or to others, we only always stress, have children immediately after marriage. Because we perform wedding ceremonies, we always tell them, do not delay childbirth, give birth to children immediately and make them devotees. Everything is delayed in the life. At 65 also, your daughter is not getting married. You are old, you cannot walk, you cannot talk, you are retired. But still the child is yet to get married, son is yet to get settled. And when we will chant Hare Krishna in a detached manner, we are still in the family life only worried about the basic settlement of our children. Why? All this is delayed, delayed and delayed, delayed, and everything is unnatural. And life is anyway reducing. So that end, life is reducing and we are going delayed. So what is remaining for us? We need to get free at around 50 from our responsibilities so we can chant Hare Krishna very, very, very free of all the daily pulling situations which bother us daily during chanting. So, one message Prabhupada is giving that in advanced Vedic civilization, childbirth should be welcomed, should be encouraged. And that too, it should not be taken as a burden. That misnomer is there in society, even amongst devotees, that I cannot afford, my income is so much, I cannot afford. Well, we should be practical. I'm not saying we should have 11 children. But when only one child is born, you are creating another social, psychological situation. When the child doesn't have a brother or sister to share, then because his mother, father also are loner, child doesn't have auntie, you know, mama, mommy, kaka, kaki, tauji and taiji. In Indian situation, there are so many different names for so many different relations. And today, because of that miserliness in having children, our children do not have enough uncles and enough aunties to relate to. Today only you have to depend on a mother to give love. In the olden days there were mothers because there was uncles whose wives were also like mothers. Uncles were like fathers. And there were grandmothers and grandfathers all living together in one family. The child will be such a beautifully developed. But today there is only one lady who is a mother whom he has to fully depend on and is mostly deprived of because the mother also is working somewhere, not giving time. The maid is there taking care of the son, child. So we are creating a social, psychological, abnormal situation by even being miserly in creating children. So only one child. How will the dharma grow if two devotees produce only one devotee? So we are reducing it to 50%. Then that devotee marries one devotee and then he creates one child. So it's 50 and then 25. It's like going down. So very soon our Sanatana Dharma will not have any people only. How do you think the Dharma, Sanatana Dharma is propagated? How do you think it propagates? It propagates only through human beings. It doesn't propagate through computers. It needs living beings, it needs you and me to propagate dharma, to follow dharma. You can living beings can take help of the machinery or technology to propagate dharma. But the machinery and the technology on their own cannot propagate dharma. It needs a living being. And that living beings are you and me, who are produced by our mother and father. So all these are to be considered, because the day is such that we are going to get soon extinguished if you don't think about this. So the message is that the childbirth has to be welcomed. Most important. And the second thing Prabhupada is talking about is how Krishna's every single thing was celebrated by Mother Yashoda. Every single thing connected with Krishna was celebrated. Krishna is just trying to turn, you know. At one point of time in the milestones in the child's growth, the child turns to left or right side on his own. And that time there is a Uthana ceremony. And then Prabhupada mentions that in our culture is so beautiful that even before conception of child there is a samskar called Garbhadana samskar. And fortunately, Gopala Bhatta Goswami has written Shat Kriya Sar Deepika, and His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj and the team have translated into English. All the ceremonies verbatim from Sanskrit to English are translated by them. And then we have come to know that so many ceremonies, not speculative, given by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And the first one is Garbhadana Samskar. Before even you conceive a child, you do a Samskar. That's why you don't ever see that in the history of our Puranas in India, that a king is given birth to a Shudra. The king will always give birth to a Kshatriya. And a Brahmana will always give birth to a Brahmana. And a Vaishya will always give birth to a Vaishya. And what remains is Shudra. So Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Why is that? Because in Kali Yuga, nobody is doing any sanskar, so all of us are born as Shudras. Janmana Jayate Shudra. Samskarat Bhavet Dvija. What is required is samskar. Otherwise, all of us, we don't want to be proud. I am born in a Brahmin family. It doesn't mean that I am a born Brahmin. I have been made Brahmin by Prabhupada and Prabhupada's merciful disciples, Guru Maharaj. Otherwise, born Brahmin doesn't mean I also underwent thread ceremony. It's called two paisa thread, you know. And before that also we were eating non-veg, and the next day also we were eating non-veg. In between there was a ceremony of thread ceremony. Useless thing, absolutely useless thing. When we received Brahman initiation in ISKCON, that time we came to know how serious it is, and how important it is, and what difference it makes. I will tell you a small thing, my own experience. We always thought that, you know, medical students are, they need a lot of intelligence because they have to read such big books. Medicine, surgery, gynecology, you can go on naming. And we used to really have done weightlifting every day by carrying the books. Nowadays everything is soft copy, but in those days we used to carry anatomy, physiology books. And we always were proud that we are some special people who have great intelligence to imbibe all the knowledge and reproduce in the exams. But then when I accepted Krishna consciousness, I really came to know that the intelligence required to study Bhagavad Gita is much more than medical books. It really requires finer intelligence to understand what Gita is saying than what is given in medical books. And in those days, I remember I used to read 6 pages per hour. And I was quite depressed because my colleagues would read 35 pages per hour. But after about 35 years in Krishna consciousness, after receiving Gayatri Mantra from Guru Maharaj about 35 years back, my honest conclusion is that today I can read sometimes paragraph at a time. No jokes, I am not exaggerating or boasting. But then I understood that this is the power of Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra, when chanted with great attention and seclusion in great ekant, it gives tremendous intellectual power and it develops tremendous intelligence, especially to understand spiritual science. So that's why we find sometimes I've seen His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj chants his Gayatri for 20 minutes It's like almost three Hare Krishna mantra rounds, 108. Because each mantra is a meditative thing, it's not uttering thing. We don't speak, we utter. We meditate on each word, dhimahi, whatever we say. And the subject, and then there's a bija, and then there is... So when we do deep meditation, you get super fine intelligence to understand things as they are and to differentiate things from material to spiritual. Sar asar buddhi, vivek, sad asad vivek buddhi. All that is because of what? The samskar called upanayan samskar. We in Hindi we call janiv samskar. English we say thread ceremony. In Sanskrit we call brahmopadesham. It is so important. And not that only brahminical people would get that samskar. All others, even kshatriyas, even vaishyas are supposed to get the samskar from the purohits, brahmin purohits. So our culture is so deep and so rich that every single opportunity is there for us to grow. Even though janmana jayare shudra, samskarat bhavet dvija, opportunity is there. We all can become twice born when we undergo samskaras, when we receive samskaras fortunately. That's why now in the second phase of our ISKCON, when there was an emergency phase, Prabhupada was just preaching, he said Varnashram Dharma has to be established. What does that mean? That means the samskaras has to be propagated. You have to understand the importance of samskaras, and you have to do the samskaras, create a facility of making it available to people. Those who have understood now, they want to do. Now there is, if you have understood, but there is no purohits available. Because most of the purohits are corrupt, money-minded, and their consciousness is adulterated. You know, if you read a few slokas ahead, Prabhupada gives also what kind of Brahmins are needed to perform samskaras. When Brahmins are free from envy, number one, Brahmins are truthful, Brahmins are free from unnecessary pride, Brahmins are free from grudging mentality. Grudging mentality means what is this temple, you know, there is sabji only, there is no sweet available, it's always this is there, always not so interesting. Always complaining about this facility is not there, you know, government is not so good, everything is so bad, roads are constantly grumbling about something or other. Then those who are free from disturbance by opulence of others, that means envy. That means you are more opulent, I am not so opulent, and you have this, I don't have this. Even among children and wife, I don't have such wife and children. I don't have such wealth, provisions. So the Brahman is supposed to be free from this disturbance of comparing with others. And false prestige. You know what is mentioned here in Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada gives such a beautiful purport, the verse number 13 to 15 in this same chapter. He says that blessings of such Brahmins are never in vain. That means they don't want to be pure devotees. They will become pure devotees in course of time. But if they are at least at this stage of free of envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, grudges, disturbance by opulence of others and false prestige, their blessings are always becoming true. And what is samskar? What was Mother Yashoda doing? Whatever was happening with Krishna, what she was doing? She was calling Brahmins. And there were many kinds of Brahmins. And many kinds of singers. You know, Vandi and Magadha. So those who are expert in telling about historical poetry, those who are telling about current glory of the king, those who are telling about dynasty glories, there are different kinds of singers. Four kinds of singers are there. Nanda Maharaj had called all of them when Krishna was born. And they were all singing very beautifully. And then there are special dancers who would come to dance. And Prabhupada explains that what is Mahotsava? A Mahotsava is not a Mahotsava if there is no dancing. Dancing has to be there. So you see in India, whatever happens, people are dancing always. And believe me, if you dance, all your miseries will go away. You try it. If you are in the middle of the kirtan, you will see that no misery will touch you, at least during that time. If you are far in the circle, you may still think, why is he dancing like this? You should not dance like this. Something else thought will come to your mind. You are not overwhelmed with the kirtan. You will see about so many things around you. So the more you go periphery towards kirtan, the more detached you are from the kirtan and you are involved in the material activities in the world, in mind mind level at least. So, what is important is, dancing is an essential aspect of a Mahotsava. So, I was talking about Brahmanas. So, now, for every Mahotsav, a Brahman is required. And why Brahman is required? He is supposed to do Yajana, Yajana, Patana, Patan, and what he is supposed to do? Give blessings. And this thing is so important. Once you satisfy the Brahman by enough charity, food and everything, he really gives heartfelt blessings. Not that he is hungry for those things, but he feels the love and the understanding and the respect that you have for Brahminical culture. With that he becomes satisfied, and with the satisfied Brahman, when he gives blessings, it is extremely important for Grihastha to progress in their life. And that is what is important. I mean, I remember one more thing now. It's a very funny thing, but it has taught me a lot of lessons. In Radha Govinda temple and many other temples, you know, on Janmashtami day, they perform yajna on the birth of Krishna. On the occasion of birth of Krishna, there is a yajna performed. For every auspicious thing, the yajna is performed. Oblations are done to Vishnu, to satisfy Vishnu, to take blessings from him, to really pray to him that my child or this occasion, that occasion, the wedding or the Graha Pravesha should be auspicious, should not be without hindrance. So, when Krishna is born, the yajna was performed by Nanda Maharaj also, and now also in temple behind, a yajna is performed. And I was invited to give blessings to Krishna on occasion of Krishna's birth. That means, on behalf of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, on occasion of Krishna's birth, the yajna is being performed, and they need a Brahmin to actually bless the child. So I was fully so shy, why are you calling me? He said that some Brahman has to come and complete the ceremony. It is a requirement of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So you don't think you are that qualified person, just do your service. So I really prayed and prayed and prayed, and I was thinking that Garga Muni, Shandilya Muni, please bless me to bless Krishna. Because Shandilya Muni is a resident Purohit of Nandagaon. Garga Muni is a resident Purohit of Mathura, of Vasudev. And both of them were there many occasions in Vrindavan, Barsana, you know. And that experience of giving blessing to newborn Krishna was something different only. Kind of a detached experience, an experience of service. So what I am trying to tell is, these blessings of Brahmanas are very important. We are not caste conscious or, you know, as Prabhupada mentions, caste Brahmins and caste Goswami. We are not talking about that. We are talking about genuine Brahminical culture. Genuine Varnashram Dharma, which Prabhupada is indicating us to. And for that, we need to train ourselves. And we need to create trainers to train people. So that our society becomes very highly qualified in Shastras, in chanting mantras, in chanting Saswasti Vachana, and Shanti Panchaka, and so many other Purusha Suktas and all. So that in every holy occasion, for any samskar to be done, these mantras are to be chanted. Shanti Panchaka, Swasti Vachana, then Purusha Sukta, Sri Sukta, so many Vachanas are there, which creates auspiciousness to begin the function. And these, when we do these functions in this particular way, the authenticity comes. And we can very proudly represent Prabhupada while performing these ceremonies. And these ceremonies give so much of joy when we perform Vastu Yajna at home, Graha Pravesha, or we perform a Garbhavati Samskar called Simantanayana, or Poo Savana Vidhi, or Garbhadana Samskar, or Jati Samskar, or Nabi Samskar, or Namakaran Samskar, or Annaprashana Samskar. These are in sequence they come. And each one, when I studied, I came to know each one is accompanied by a yajna. The Vidhi may be 5 mantras altogether, which is important for that particular Vidhi. But there is a beginning karma and there is a Paschat karma. In between there is a Vidhi. And Paschat karma is always yajna, Mangalacharan home and Vaishnava home. And what is that? To offer oblations to all the bygone Brahmanas and saintly people and to take their blessings. And to allow you to take their blessings, there is a Brahman sitting here to let you connect with those blessings through the yajna. That is why the cultivating importance for Brahminical culture is very important. So that we grow very naturally and naturally spiritually. Our spiritual growth becomes natural when we take shelter of all these nice Mahotsavas that our Goswamis have mentioned. So, why Vrindavan is so joyful? Because at every occasion, Mother Yashoda would call Brahmanas. At every occasion, they would chant so beautiful mantras. Yashoda Mai's house was constantly resounding with Brahminical mantras chanted by Brahmanas. Constantly. It's so auspicious. We put Prabhupada's kirtan 24 hours at home. For the last 35 years, it is going on. It is so auspicious to only hear Hare Krishna Mahamantra from one person only. But in the Vedic culture, collection of Brahmanas will come together and chant the mantras together. When we go to Mayapur, we sometimes hear by when we are passing on the road, Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj and his team, a group is chanting some mantras together. And we pass by, we feel so beautiful and so surcharged we feel. But that is our culture, that is our Vedic culture. So Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj and all the Brajvasis, they did it practically every single day, keeping Krishna in the center. Always wanted to have blessings for Krishna. When Krishna was born, the ladies came with so many things and Yashoda Mai was not ready to show the baby to all the ladies. She will feel, oh, their bad omen, their eyesight will fall on them. But Krishna just immersed his feet one side and immersed his face from one side to give them darshan. And what Mother Yashoda was saying, don't do anything. My child is very delicate. So she said, they said that, see, look in our basket what we have brought. We have got all the things to give blessing to your child. And that time she allowed darshan. Even today in Vrindavan, there are some temples where the pujaris sit outside and tell you, don't ask anything from the Lord, only give blessing to the Lord. In our Braj culture, Braj Upasana, they say that we only give, we don't ask anything from the Lord. So please do not ask anything from our Lala. Only come and give. That is their bhav. So the same bhav was that time there. All the Brajvasis came running, not to take something, but to give something. They all gave gifts to Krishna. They gave blessings to Krishna. And Mother Yashoda was very interested to amass the blessings for Lord Krishna, baby Krishna. And that should be the desire of every mother and father. What was Gaur Mohandi doing? Every single day he would call Brahmanas at home, sannyasis or whatever, sadhus. And he would feed them. And what he would do in the end? Please bless my child to become a devotee of Radharani. Please bless my child. Nothing else he would ask. And we can see the result of all those activities happened during Prabhupada's childhood. The samskaras which Prabhupada received, those were made available to all of us. Is it not true? Radhana Swami Maharaj tells me that my mother gave, of course, there was no Vedic culture over there or Vedic samskaras. But essentially, the essence of all the culture, Vedic ceremonies is what? Is love and blessings. So my mother filled me with so much blessings and love that I have only love to give to everybody. Because what we receive only we can give. If we receive frustrations and instability and grudging situations and complaining situations, what we can give people is only that situation. We cannot give people what we don't have. We only give people what we have. So that statement was very significant when I heard it from Radhana Swami Maharaj. That I received only love, my mother drowned me in love, he said. That's why I could only give love. I only love to give others. So now whose hands it is, tell me? It's in the hands of all parents, what they give their children. And that is called samskar. That we give them the culture of humanity, culture of honesty, culture of truthfulness, culture of charity, culture of good behavior, good etiquettes. And what we receive, then only that we can give. Like my father was very strict about eating every morsel of food that was served. Whether you like it or not, it's karela or whatever you like or don't like. Whatever is served, whatever is cooked that day has to be eaten to the last item and the plate has to be clean. And same thing I came to know when I became devotee in ISKCON, that this is what is expected. Nothing should be left in plate and everything should be honored. Now, anciently all these things were taught at home only by mother and father. Now we learn this in spiritual institutes because homes are not giving this culture. And we learnt all those great things after coming to ISKCON. But I remember most of the things, some of the things were taught at home only. So how much important is this Varnashram Dharma? How greatly important it is? We are all made of what we received. Is it not true? But fortunately we became attached to Prabhupada Samstha institution. That's why we learned so many things which our mother and father also did not give us. That is our fortune. But otherwise, how we can receive it? Only through Varnashram Dharma. Only through mother and father. So just giving birth to a child, even animals are doing. But human life is meant for samskaras. Is there any samskar for cats and dogs? Unfortunately, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, Brahmanas were doing marriages of cats and dogs. That was degradation. And Advaita Acharya was crying. What kind of degradation is taking place? Cats and dogs are being married. And then he felt helpless and he prayed for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean Vishnu to come down. So, samskar is equal to human beings. No animals or lower species are supposed to receive samskaras. You and me as human beings are only entitled to receive samskaras. My machine and your machine, human body is only entitled to receive samskaras. This physical purification, mental purification, intellectual purification, spiritual purification, all comes through samskaras. So let us take this very seriously and let us grow, because when is the other opportunity going to come? I am not very sure whether I will come back as a human being, if at all I have to come back. We have to make it up, whatever we can do in this lifetime only. And by the mercy of six Goswamis and other Acharyas, everything is there, please understand. You don't have to search outside and research what others are doing. Everything is there contained in Srila Prabhupada's mission. Whatever you need to grow and to reach Krishna is there available with us. That much faith and nishtha we should have. Then this very lifetime will be successful. Otherwise, punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam, keep coming again and again. Do we have that much time, energy? The world is getting so worse now only. What to speak of? I die and I come back again in the same world. What the world will be like? We cannot imagine. Today samskaras are available little bit. That time what will happen, we don't know. So let us all take it very seriously now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. If there is any comments, questions, yes, the microphone can be given. That is correct. Yeah. That is correct. So, if you do not have any further question, no, yeah. If you don't have a resource of qualified Brahmins, then the best samskar is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Prabhupada also said another best samskar for children is to bring them for Darshanarti in the morning. Just get them, let them be with you when you undergo the whole ceremony of Darshanarti. It's also samskaras. So there is no resource, then better not to call a greedy Brahman to perform your samskar, because there is no benefit going to be there for you. Ultimately, it's also an activity. It has to be done rightly. Then only you will get the right benefit. If the wrong person and wrong activity, a wrong mood is there, then the benefit is zero. Only money is spent, time is spent, and nothing is useful. That's why you look for Brahmanas in ISKCON. I can guarantee you that whatever our movement is doing, it is genuine. It is definitely genuine. What we are receiving as knowledge also genuine. I have been recipient of this for last many years, so I can tell you with confidence that you look for, it may be a little troublesome, you have to get it from maybe Vrindavan or other places, distant places, but do that effort and call a bona fide Brahmin to perform the ceremonies at home. Otherwise, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the bona fide ceremony for all the rituals. If you don't have resource, you know, in 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vamandev is asking Shukracharya, he is actually instructing him that my devotee Bali Maharaj, his 100th yagya is not successful because he could not promise what he could give, he could not fulfill what he promised me to give. Third step he could not, he already had occupied everything by 2 feet. So his 100th yagya is unfulfilled. So I want you to find out something from scriptures and complete his 100th yagya, because I want to give him the benefit of becoming Indra as a result of the 100 yagyas. That was for the purpose of becoming Indra, he was doing it. And I want to make him Indra. This is my desire. So what did Shukracharya answer? Shukracharya said, where your holy names are chanted, all the rituals which are incomplete are completed. All the mistaken, unfulfilled, wrongly done samskaras are completed, fulfilled and corrected when the holy name is chanted. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sometimes when devotees call to perform some ceremony and we are somewhere out of town, then we say, just call devotees and do Hare Krishna Mahamantra Kirtan and feed them prasad and pray to the Lord for auspiciousness. The Lord will bless you. This is what we do. We need to train more Brahmanas, not by birth, by qualification. Gunakarma Vibhagasha. So we train them and then we have enough people to perform various ceremonies. And the worst thing is when somebody dies, because death doesn't come with announcement. There is no muhurta that you see in the Panchang and the death comes that day. Death comes like this, and that time on emergency nobody is available. And devotees are really confused. What to do, what should not be done, where should be done, who should do it, everything. And plus sorrow is there, so most confusion is there. So that's why we need some people ready to guide them. I'm telling you, even if the Brahmana loses his father, he forgets what needs to be done. This is also I have seen. Because he is so much in sorrow that he forgets himself what to do next. He has done it for many people. But when his personal thing happens, he is confused. So how much support of society is required from this point of view? So we need to train people, we should take interest to learn these things and help people out. Because in India the situation is different, everybody wants something to be done ritualistically. And that's a great preaching also. Please understand, before I was thinking only devotees I will do. Then I understood that it's a great preaching opportunity. When you do a bona fide samskar, everybody is so impressed. In every wedding I do, at least 6 people from the society of the wedding, they come and say, you will do my daughter's wedding. Because they say, we never know these things, nobody tells in these things. So much explanation is there. It's so auspicious, so blissful. We didn't know so many vidhis are there. We just wanted to get it finished because lunch was getting late in the wedding. So it's a great pitching opportunity. 2 families and dynasties are connected to you, and you can continue with them on WhatsApp and social media and preach them. And they turn out to be devotees later on because they have been touched with some genuine ceremony which is important for them. So we need to take up that onus and responsibility. Any other question? Yes? You decide who should talk first. Let her talk. Time limit you see, Prabhuji. I am okay. Yes, Mataji.
Then the reactions will be such.
Okay, so this question is asked by hundreds of young parents, hundreds of young parents. This is a usual question, and what we should understand as an essential answer to this, that we have to give a very strong devotional Krishna conscious culture at home. The younger the child is, the more receptive the child is. The more how we were similarly, when we were young, we were receptive. When we were grown up, we started became rebellious, questions asking, not listening. So right from the womb, give the samskar. We tell mothers to chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavatam, read Chaitanya Charitamrita, hear the classes and go to kirtan, go to darshan, go to holy places in the second trimester. So many things we tell them, so that samskar is through the child in the womb when the child is 100% dependent and surrendered to the mother. Then also after birth, for lactation and other requirement, child is very dependent. Give all the samskaras. We tell the mothers to don't talk while giving breastfeeding to mother children. Go exclusive inside and pray to the Lord while giving breastfeeding. Not that you talk to your husband and argue with your husband, mother-in-law, and watch television and discuss something and also feed baby on breast. No. Exclusively give meditative breastfeeding. And that's how you give your strongest culture at home. And then the child becomes 16 years old and becomes rebellious and goes away. What we can do is our duty, we can do nicely. Don't have to think that we failed. Because today's children, today's culture is so independent that children will do what they want. But if your home basic culture in childhood was strong, you will find them coming back after a detour. That's also a fact. They will go like this and they'll come back. Yes. Why? Because how you become pure devotee? By your choice. Yeah. Prabhupada said you can become pure devotee with a snap of a finger. It's all up to us.
It's not dependent on husband.
If we are not convinced enough, then everything affects us. Even the temperature affects us. What to speak? If we are convinced on the level of nishtha, then you can become pure devotee now also. When things affect us around, when we are in the progressive stage, then everything happens, everything is affecting us. But when we have full faith and we take shelter of the holy name, then nothing seems to affect us. Hari Bol. Yes, Prabhuji. So do not fail in giving what you can give. That is most important.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji.
I can't hear what he's saying. I can understand.
According to scriptures, there is a stipulated time for a child to undergo this Yajnavalkya samskara.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we miss our opportunity for our child, two children. Now, what is my...
Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Between 8 and 14, if you do not give Yajna Pavita, you cannot give. And some speculative brahmanas, what they do, 24-year-old with mustache and everybody, they still put him in the lap of father and give him Gayatri Mantra before marriage. I've seen that. That's unbonafide. It is not bonafide. So, one more thing I'll tell you. Suppose by any chance, we do not receive Brahminical initiation from our Guru Maharaj, nothing to panic. Hare Krishna Mahamantra is enough for us to take us back to Godhead. We are not trying to propagate ritualism here over here. We are just trying to tell the importance of ritualistic rituals. But that doesn't become, we have to be so ritualistic that, oh, I didn't get this, so I cannot go back to Godhead. I can't do this and I can't do that. There are some set norms that you can't do deity worship unless you have Brahman Diksha. That is also important. But that doesn't mean that if you cannot get Brahminical Diksha, you cannot go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna Mahamantra is enough powerful to take us back to Godhead. Yes, Prabhuji is waiting for a long time here. I hope I am satisfying you with the answer. There is no need to be hopeless for anything. If you miss something, okay, there are enough things to rely upon to progress. Yes, Prabhuji. No. Yeah. See, his question is that about Advaita Acharya looking for cats and dogs wedding. Before Gauranga Mahaprabhu's advent, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ji also explains the situation of Kali Yuga in Navadvip. That the Brahmanas, Vedic Brahmanas, would not chant the name of the Lord except for Grahana, for eclipse. Can you imagine? Eclipse used to not to come like this. Today eclipses are coming every second month and third month, you know. Last year 4-5 major eclipses. But in earlier days it was not so. This was the sign of Kali Yuga. So eclipses would come very rarely, and they would chant only when they will submerge themselves in the water, in the river, at the time of eclipse. And otherwise they will not chant a single mantra of holy name of the Lord. And it is also explained that the Brahmins, rich Brahmins, and the rich hosts that they had, Yajmanas, you know, that they would hire the Brahmins, these people would get their dogs and bitches married. Male cat and female cat gets married in a ceremonious way. And these Brahmins would go and chant all the mantras for cats and dogs. So Krishnadas Kaviraj explains, Goswami explains, to see the degraded condition before Mahaprabhu's advent. And when he saw that, he felt so piteous condition that who will correct them? That they are Brahmin themselves. They claim to be knowing all the Vedas and they are doing this activity. Who can correct them? They are so arrogant and so proud because of money that they are receiving from people. See, money makes you very strong and proud, you know. If you are poor, you are receptive. Money comes, then immediately you feel, you know. Even if you are a film star, you know. You think that you know all the things about Brahminical culture also. Because you are a famous person and have a lot of money. So that was explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that made Advaita Acharya feel so helpless that now my preaching and my effort is not going to work. I need to only call the Lord. So he sat with Shaligram Shila at the bank of Ganga with Gangajal and Chandan and Tulsi, and he cried. And Mahaprabhu then said, tell him that Nara was crying, calling me. I have come as a result of that. Call him. Like that, that is an event where he called Advaita Acharya to tell him that I came because of your prayers. Yes.
It's not a question, I'm just getting something. Like, as you told that the women, those that are having one children, they don't have any emotional support. So, it has been, you know, expounded very lucid and very explicitly in one Samhita, that the women, those that are having one children, they are also called barren women.
Gaul?
Barren women.
Yes. I read that. It's a scriptural evidence. In the previous life, yeah, they don't get children. Also, it is mentioned that those who have done go hatya, go aparad, this life or previous life, they also don't get children. That's why gau seva is another important culture that we need to propagate. Because when you do gau seva, gau aparad or gau hatya also is corrected. Cow is so merciful that even if you have killed some cows in the previous lives, and if you serve cows heartfelt way in this life, those karmas are mitigated. That's why by default, assuming that we are sinful, we should do gau seva, directly or indirectly. Keep connected with cows. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes. Mike. Take mic.
The main reason of the fall of the Brahmin culture is that I think the main reason
of the greed. And why the greed came in Brahmanas? Because the kings were supposed to support the Brahmanas. Raja Ashray. They were supposed to be under Raja Ashray. When kings stopped supporting the Brahmanas, they were worried about their maintenance and they became greedy. And that's how that Dedo, all these things happening because of, they are not having any support.
Why this
was? That is because of degradation of Kali Yuga. Everybody is giving up their duties. If somebody asks me, why you don't do this, it's like my choice, I have given up. If I ask you, why don't you do this? So, it's your choice not to do it. So kings stopped doing it. And when the British rule came, historically it says the British rule, before that there were a lot of samsthanik. That means a lot of parganas were there. And there were kings everywhere. If you see, Rajasthan, there are 50 kings were there. And they were maintaining. But what British people did, they destroyed all the kingmanship. And they became parliamentary government. In the parliamentary government, nobody is a king. It's a collective effort. In the kingmanship, in the whatever it called in scriptures, the king is the boss. And he decides everything. His consciousness will afflict the whole. Like Ram was the king, so his consciousness was in Ram Rajya. But British, when as sign of Kali Yuga, they destroyed the kingmanship. And they brought up parliamentary government. So there is no king. So who will support Brahmanas?
System of government.
So if the government understands Vedic principles and they support Brahmanas, then again it will revive. The Brahmanas will not become greedy. If they are well maintained, why they should bother? In South India if you go, no Brahmanas are bothering you for donations. Because they are well maintained by the temple trust only. They don't harass you at the time when taking Charanamrita. In ISKCON, you don't do that. Nobody is asking for donation when giving Charanamrita here. It's not our culture because we are maintaining our Brahmanas here inside temple. So greed comes when there is no security. So who creates that? We create a society, the insecurity in Brahmins. That's why whenever a Brahmin asks, please give. Give him whatever token you can give. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.